Reading from the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Chapter 7, Volume 1, Text 96. This day, Pisamyam Maitam, Madhutam, the change of Chinta, Kuditam, Nanam, Vai. Ashayate Sham, Priyate, Vidyayo. Ikam sasadyo igani karoti. Everyone, make sure your phone is muted. I hear someone. So their pain won't be relieved even if they see me. Their hearts will be so disturbed by thoughts of separation from me that whatever measures I take for their happiness will only double their grief. In the commentary, in their trance of separation, the devotees of Vraja are aware of nothing but Krishna. Their ecstasy is so deep that as a natural effect of remembering Krishna, they see him physically before them. Other pure devotees whose love for Krishna is not on the same level of perfection have separate experiences of him internally and externally. Dhruva, for example, concentrated his mind on Lord Vishnu in deep meditation, but his internal vision of the Lord did not expand into a vision outside like that of the gopis. Only when Lord Vishnu came to Dhruva to offer him special mercy did the Lord disappear from Dhruva's heart to show himself externally. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksulun Vatamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Yadati Sapadam Tikam Vancha Kaupa Turu Jyascha Vipasindu Vaye Vicha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Vidadha Sri Vasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from the Sun Falls. Right after the class, I'll be leaving for New York. Any of you are in the local area, I'll be lecturing at Yoga Maya on the yoga of forgiveness. We had a quaint Gaur Purnima here. I just walked across the street and Satsarup Maharaj was hosting a Gaur Purnima. And it was nice. I mean, there were maybe 15, 20 adults and a bunch of children. And Pradivati Achiyati Nagaradi Gram. Chaitanya predicted that his name, holy name, be chanted every town and village. And I can see it around here that it's, what's really nice is that just that there's a community and local people are gradually becoming devotees. So it's very, very sweet. I was asked in the local yoga studio in Hudson to every other week do an overview of Bhagavad Gita. And it was nice. It was, you know, local people. One lady even came 3 hours from Syracuse, who I met in India. Another lady will come from Boston in 2 weeks for that class. So it's encouraging and very sweet. Satsarup Maharaj gave a summary, a half-hour summary of Lord Chaitanya's. And he led a very, very sweet kirtan. I led a little kirtan. And Baladev made a pretty amazing feast. So that was nice. So this morning I'll go down to New York right after I finish the class. And we're up to a section in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that you have to have a proper frame of reference to understand it. It's the depth of the love of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna. I mentioned many times that this subject matter is contained in the 10th canto, and that there are other subjects that help us get a frame of reference to understand appropriately Radha and Krishna's pastimes, which although have the form of what we see in the world as lust, the bhava behind that form of intensity of relationship, is pure and selfless love. And the Bhagavatam brings us to an appreciation of that, so we can identify that form with that pure consciousness, and not that form of Radha and Krishna with the consciousness that we have in relating with the opposite sex, or thinking about the opposite sex, or thinking about those type of relationships. Because it's as different as iron and gold. There's a similarity in shape, but the quality and the value is so dissimilar. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was such a strict sannyasi, wouldn't even hear the voice of a woman, would meditate on these pastimes all the time. So they're completely transcendental. The form is manifest out of love. There's a relationship between form and consciousness. There can be a beautiful form of a man or a woman who received that form out of some karmic due to enjoy sex life in this world. And then it's a form that's beautiful but imbued with lust. And then there can be a form of beauty, equal beauty, even unparalleled beauty, that's a result of piety, to give pleasure and love. And if you see the two different forms, this is even a material example, the rupa or form that comes from love and happiness is more beautiful than the love and form that comes from lust. And the love and form, the form born out of love, it will sparkle in a young child. It will sparkle in an old lady. And certainly in someone who's young. So the forms of Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world are simply a composition of what love looks like. When the consciousness of wanting to please the other is manifest to the fullest degree, that capacity to please and do so is the form of Srimati Radharani. And not just her form, it's her fragrance. It's the softness of her body. It's the sound of her voice. These forms, they're something else. And now that consciousness is being described. And if there's anything we can get out of these pastimes, is an aspiration for this consciousness. And we intuitively understand that intense purity, intense selflessness, true devotion and love coming from the heart is non-different from Ladini Shakti, or the potency that gives pleasure to others and oneself. We intuitively know it. I tell that story many times. I tell that story many times of walking in the forest of Raja, walking in the forest of Vrindavan. I told you when I was hosting one nice couple, the lady was blind. And her first day in Vrindavan was a horror because they just heard Vrindavan. They weren't very experienced in Krishna consciousness. They came at the most crowded time and they got a room by, you know, where there were just horrible loud sounds, speakers, trucks. So they sought me out because I had met them in Croatia when I visited last year. And I helped them get a room in the temple, which was ideal, in the temple guest house. And then took them to the real Vrindavan, which is experienced through the senses, but ultimately experienced through the heart. And therefore, although this lady could not see, her other senses being more pronounced, hearing my descriptions, smelling the flowers, hearing the birds, feeling the sweet breeze against her body, and experiencing the simplicity and love of the Vrijavasis, she saw Vrindavan. Especially when one simple farmer who had lost so much in the flood, but was an ocean of happiness, and when I questioned him, how can you be so happy? And he said, happiness is a heart. Happiness is a heart filled with devotion. Happiness is a heart. Happiness is a heart filled with devotion. So we're going to read about that heart to the utmost degree, which is the conclusion of this section of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Who's the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy? The person whose heart is most filled with love. So how that comes out is now Krishna is explaining to Satyabhama, who's upset when she saw Krishna's expression of love for the gopis in Mother Vrindavan. And Krishna now has the courage to tell her how great that love is. And now he's in the park where he's saying, even if he would return, it wouldn't help them. Because when they see him, as a devotee sees Krishna's beauty and experiences Krishna's beauty through all the senses, their prema transforms into the highest ecstasies and so many involuntary ecstasies called sattvika bhavs manifest. And then Krishna is telling him that these devotees will enter into such a deep trance of bewilderment that they'll lose external consciousness. Well, actually, that's the commentary. What Krishna is telling them, they become so dazed that they can't recognize anything, and that's what prema is. That's what samadhi is. You're lost. You're lost in your object of meditation. Lost, lost, lost. There's nothing else but your object of meditation. We have some experience in when love is heightened, even if we're worried for a loved one, or there's some infatuation, person can occupy our consciousness out of that affection. And if there's great tragedy, even that's what all the person could think of. But the commentators explain in this state, this is the state of love, where the Supreme Lord manifests himself in full. And this is actually the height of samadhi, this type of realization. And Krishna loses hope of restoring them because their separation is so deep, so powerful. Out of that feeling of separation, it's going to explain how their pain won't be relieved even when they see Krishna, he's been saying. That their hearts will be so disturbed that whatever Krishna does for their happiness will only increase their grief. So Krishna is explaining his reluctance. And it's going to give us this kind of vision of intense love when the consciousness is actually in prema. It's affection, it's love, but it is the supreme love. It's not a product of our temporary mind and samskaras that are made and compete with other samskaras. Sattvika bhav doesn't mean the mode of goodness. It means from the platform of reality of the soul. The eternal nature is awoken fully. The nature of the soul is fully manifest in its true glory. And when it's fully awakened in its true glory, the Lord's pleasure potency flows through that vehicle from the Supreme Lord through the heart of the devotee and back towards the Supreme Lord. And that's the Ladini Shakti. That it's a flow of intense pleasure potency. We know there are gradations of pleasure in this world. From eating to sex life to feelings of ego gratification We know there's pleasure. We know that there's a potency of pleasure. And we know it on different levels. We know it on the sensual level. We know it on the mental level. We know it on the ego level. And if we're fortunate, we have a drop of that on the spiritual level. Perhaps an introductory offer to Krishna consciousness where we experience namabhas beyond the mind and the speculation and the intellect. And that's what Shraddha or faith is. Faith is the experience of the soul. This is my understanding from reading Bhagavatam and Jiva Dharma. It's an experience of the soul. So what Shraddha is prema in a seed form. And then when that experience grows and makes deeper and deeper impressions in the consciousness, it brings us to the level of association with devotees. It brings us further to the level of spiritual practice. It brings us further to the level of giving up those things that have no value to the endeavor to get that energy in its full. And then one does it all the time. And when the soul comes to a point where it imbues his consciousness to such a degree that spontaneously the consciousness is yearning for God, then God trusts that entity with the full shakti of his sambit ladini potencies. And a bhava imbues the consciousness. A sense of what one's connection and relationship with God is becomes real. But here we're bringing it to prema, where that energy is the floodgates of that shakti is open to the fullest degree. So when you have that, you feel separation from God. It's so treasured that even when you have it, even when the object of your love is before you, there's an anxiety that you may lose it, especially in this Krishna Lila, because he's left. So Krishna's trying to illustrate the Satyabhama. If I come back, it does not matter. They're so disturbed that I think their grief will double in anxiety. And in the commentary, this is also from Sanatana Goswami, and this beautiful, it describes that in the separation of the residents of Vrindavan, there's prakat, what's manifest, and aprakat, what's not manifest. And what happens when Krishna appears in the mode of separation internally at the level of praying, he also manifests externally. And this is going to be compared to Dhruva, where the internal manifestation disappears, then the physical manifestation comes. Or the physical manifestation comes and then internally it appears in the heart. And then he references that from the Bhagavatam. But as soon as he opened his eyes, he saw the personality of Godhead present. And all of a sudden it disappeared internally. And just as he'd been seeing the Lord in his heart, he saw him present. But somehow or other with the bridge bhasis, it inconceivably manifests fully. And therefore, the sense is that there's always, those are the embankments of the embankments of separation and union. That's where the prema or love flows. So they're always present. Even in Krishna's pastimes, he goes to the forest, the resident of Vrindavan, Raja nearly died. He comes back to Raja, the resident, the trees wilt. it's considered, it's going to be described somehow or other. It's a constitutional feeling that keeps the prema or the love for Krishna at the highest degree. And hearing about these things is meant to inspire us to adopt the practices and the mode and the association to get this love. So Krishna is thinking, why not return? They'll lapse into a more serious condition. Only cast them into deeper suffering. And the commentators explain, it's just like when a person hasn't eaten for a long time, so many vital elements in the body are depleted that affect digestion. So if you cure such a person who's been diseased for a long time, it's not just eating, but he has to eat in a way that he doesn't get sicker. He has to gradually and then Krishna is thinking, it's not just seeing me, but to gain that confidence, I have to perform pastimes with them for a long, 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 long time. And I have to take care of things elsewhere. Also for the Brijbasis, because if he goes back to Vrindavan, then the aggressions will also come to Vrindavan. And this anxiety is Krishna's sarvagya, it's mukdata. So now he's sarvagya, now he's all knowing. Krishna's understanding things. And the Leela Shakti makes him forget for the purpose of exchanging love. But now that he's in Dwarka contemplating, he understands that this anxiety is constitutional. And it doesn't go away by his personal darshan. And it's described later on, it's going to be described that his personal darshan is ecstatic. But most of the time, they're separated. It's a kind of a mixture. It's kind of a mixture where both ingredients are required to keep the flow of rasa heightened to the maximum degree. And the fact that the separation cannot be cured by his personal darshan, the commentary gives the example of the queens of Dwarka. And quotes the last verse in the 10th canto. And the last verse of the 10th canto is the queens expressing intense separation from Krishna, when in fact they were speaking during the day and they just finished their water sports with him. So he's not gone. They know he's not God. But it's so constitutional to heighten that sense of love. It's so constitutional that they're expressing this sentiment. Oh, Kurati bird, at night you are lamenting. Somewhere in this world, the Supreme Lord is asleep in a hidden place. But you are wide awake, O friend, unable to fall asleep. Is it that you, like us, and had your heart pierced to the core by the munificent, playful, smiling glances of the lotus-eyed Lord. Your heart pierced to the core. The verse before is also interesting. The queens had become stunned in ecstatic trance, their minds absorbed in Krishna alone. Thinking of their lotus-eyed Lord, they spoke as if insane. Please hear their words to me as I relate them. This is their insane talking. For their love is so deep that although Krishna is omniscient, all-powerful, he can't help them. And the queens were foreseeing this pain even while enjoying with him. But it's so constitutional. It's described, any attempt to make the Vrajvasis happy will quickly make everything go wrong, just as water thrown on an oil fire makes the fire explode and out of control. Thus Krishna faces a dilemma. On one hand, the Vrajvasis do not know they can survive in separation from Krishna. And on the other hand, even if he stays with them for a long time, they would inevitably worry that in any moment he might leave them again. It will only worsen their grief. Krishna reasons that just as there is no way to remove the natural quality of heat that he imparted to the element fire at the time of creation, there is no way that anyone, even he himself, could withdraw the ecstatic nature of the Vrajvasis imparted to them by his unique mercy. So this Viraha Bhav is a special mercy, a special joy, which is, this is his greatest mercy. This is the answer to the whole quest by Narada. And he's seeing it personally, but Krishna explaining what his greatest mercy is. This Varaha Bhav, this mood of separation born of intense love. Because it is filled, I'm reading from the purport, with the highest special happiness carried to its ultimate extreme. Love, devotion is happiness. This is love and devotion. And one who has this feeling in his heart on the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada, the greatest mercy, the disciples of Prabhupada who receive the greatest mercy are the ones who are crying in separation. We had a wonderful Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day in Govardhan every year. It's very special. That quaint little temple room on top of the roof. And generally, we have at least 10 or 12 incredibly deep devotees that speak. I mean, this year, Borijan Prabhu, Vaisheshik Prabhu, Jayadvaita, and Gopi Pranadhan, and Keshava Bharti, Satchinandana Swami, Srimati. It's just amazing, you know, and they can speak their hearts. Abhiram Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's assistant, Bhavananda, last days, assisting Kamal Krishna Maharaj. And the offerings, each offering, it seemed like it was better than the next. And then Harisari's wife, Sikala, spoke. And she tells how she dreads this day every year. That's why she wasn't in Vrindavan for the disappearance day. How she dreads the day. And when I saw the intensity of her feelings of devotion, and then saw Nakula, the wife of Vaisheshika Prabhu, and these are people who have been breaking down in tears and just glorifying all the devotees. These are devotees who just have selfless rooted service. Maybe don't have the perks that they would have if they were in a man's body. The so-called perks of perhaps being a guru or a sannyasi or a GBC. But if I looked at it at that time, you know, I was saying these are the topmost recipients of Prabhupada's mercy because they have a drop of separation, a flood of separation in their hearts so deeply. That's mercy, and that's what this is pointing to. There can't be attachment without mercy. There can't be attachment without separation. And when you have it, it's called Parama Mahatva. And only the Brijvasis experience this. Everyone in the world may live in separation, but only the Brijvasis. And this type of ecstasy is attained only by the special mercy of Krishna and only by his very intimate association. And Krishna feels very grateful for these devotees, and he can't bear to see this disastrous effect. Now that's Mudatta. He's not thinking philosophically. He therefore cannot return to live in Vrindavan or pay a short visit. That he's explaining this. Because I will have to go and drive a car, I'm going to end the lecture part now, but it's really nice to finally get to the essence of the whole text. Would anybody like to ask any questions? Anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hare Krishna, Gail.
I have two questions. One is, I don't understand how, on the one hand, we are saying that the gopis, unlike Guru Maharaj, had Krishna's personal darshan internally and externally. Yet we also say that they didn't have it. That's why they were in separation.
They exist on two platforms, apricot and apricot, simultaneously. Just like it's described that someone can exist on two platforms in Gaur Leela and Krishna Leela simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
I think we filter it through our own experience of forms, which is limited. And this is trying to give us a frame of reference to understand their consciousness and how it's churning. And it's churning with many, many bhavs, and they're always with Krishna, and they're always separated from Krishna. And that creates a river of praying that flows through their hearts. But I think we have to be a little cautious of trying to filter it through the way the world works according to the modes of nature. and just accept that there's a Chintyashakti, the inconceivable potency, and that somehow or other we're here. Either you walk or you don't walk, either you're near or far, that doesn't apply to the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord walks, he doesn't walk. He's near, he's far. He's inside, he's outside. And those qualities to circumstance, they're existent, and they develop these. And therefore, it's hard to give like an analogy, you know, to help you understand in this world how someone is near and far, or inside and out. I guess there is something, you know, when you deeply love someone, they're in your heart. So we can relate to these things in a certain degree, but the possibilities of it we won't find here in the world.
Well, yeah, the analogy with Gaur Lila, Krishna Lila, that was helpful.
Yeah, I didn't understand you. What did you say?
I said the analogy you gave was helpful, you know, the fact that a person can exist simultaneously in Gaur Lila and Krishna Lila.
Okay, yeah. Okay, thank you.
But there was also, you kept on saying during the lecture about something being constitutional, and I couldn't understand what it was that was
the anxiety. I'll read it. Their anxiety being an essential part of their existence cannot be cured even by his personal darshan. So that's constitutional, isn't it? Being an essential part of their existence.
The
in other words, the anxiety of losing Krishna. So somehow or other, the sense of devotion and the sense of love is heightened by the anxiety of losing your beloved. Even as an infatuation between a young man and a young girl, that naturally there's always worry that it may break up, that they may be separated, that one may die. You know, that anxiety is constitutional in love. So it's reflected from the spiritual world, where it's also an essential part of their very existence.
Okay.
Thank you, Gail. Some other friendly voices like to say hello?
Hey, Krishna Maharaj.
Hey, Krishna Maharaj.
Happy Gaurapurnima.
Well, thank you, thank you. You know, as you know, I keep the computer open, and when I keep the computer open, it makes a sound if there's a letter, you know, coming. That's the way the computer works, you know. It gives like a little beep. So I'm giving my lecture, and I hear a beep. And then I think, oh, my God, no one's hearing me. Let me see. It's probably Ruti or Jaini Thai or Gail or someone, Mamuni, telling me, you know, it's not up. But then, and then I look at the name, and it's Giriraj Swami. And then I also thought of you, because you have such a close relationship, both of you to him.
Hi.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hari Bol Maharaj.
Jasta. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Who's this? Okay, Hare Krishna. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna
Maharaj.
Is that Chris?
Yes, Maharaj. Hare Bol.
Okay, Hare Bol. Thank you. Who else is there?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. This is Bhagavad Gita.
Okay, I wrote about the program. If you check your email, you'll see what I wrote, okay? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. We'll see you all. Bunch of culprits to reduce.